Good morning. As you can see, I have a toolbox here this morning. And in this toolbox are some spiritual tools that we discussed at the beginning of the sermon series last week. You may remember last week, after reflecting on Acts chapter 2, the story of the Holy Spirit coming on Pentecost, and then Peter standing up with his community and speaking to the crowds in Jerusalem, we discussed that story, and then after that, we reflected on the fire in the belly of this community that I have experienced and has seen growing since the beginning of COVID-19 and the quarantine. At the end of that sermon, I prayed that we would combine that fire in the belly with some spiritual tools. The first spiritual tool that Peter modeled for us was this tool of standing together in community. And then he didn't just stand in community, he stood up and he proclaimed a message of hope in Jesus Christ. This week we begin looking at another spiritual tool from the end of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. A tool that the author of Acts, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he phrases fellowship or koinonia. Let us be together in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this time to worship today, to break open the Word, to mine Scripture for some new spiritual tools to put into our toolboxes. May you be with us and may we be together in this time. Amen. So the first two chapters of Acts move along very quickly, and it's hard to take it all in. First, we begin with Jesus and his followers, and he gives them a mission statement, saying, "You are to be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After that, Jesus ascends and he leaves his followers to be his hands and feet in the world. After that, the disciples choose Matthias to be the replacement for Judas, the betrayer, and to fill their number back up to 12. Then after that, the followers move off into locked doors to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. As we discussed last week, the Holy Spirit came with wind and fire and ignited the bellies of the disciples, who then unlocked their doors and moved out into the streets, standing up together and proclaiming the hope of Jesus Christ. It's a fast-paced story, and it's easy to miss here that there's an intentional movement by Luke from the private to the public, to the private to the public again. Right? The ascension and the mission statement and the choosing of Matthias and waiting for the Holy Spirit, that's all done in private. But then when Peter stands up in Jerusalem amongst the crowds, that is very public in his proclamation of hope. And then we get to our passage this morning, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, which is a very private view of the disciples coming together after this very public moment and eating together, sharing resources, praying, worshiping, and praising God. We wonder what Luke is doing here in this intentional move from the private to public and private and public. And I think what Luke is doing is pretty straightforward. He's trying to teach us the lesson that if we are going to be Christ's hands and feet and voice in the world, if we're going to do the hard work of standing up for peace and justice, if we're going to spread love, if we're going to feed and heal and care for one another, if we're going to do that public work and public ministry, then we also have to balance that out with times for us to come together and just to be with one another, growing deeper and deeper in our relationships with one another and with God. The word that Luke uses in our passage this morning is from the Greek koinonia, which is often translated as fellowship. They dedicated themselves to fellowship. Now, fellowship is a great churchy word, and we often use it to mean one of two things. We either use it to mean coffee hour right after the service, or we use it to mean church membership. So So we'll say to one another before the service, "Great to see you today. I can't wait to talk with you more during coffee fellowship time." Or we'll say to one another, "Next week we have our new members joining our fellowship. Come and celebrate with us as we gather together and welcome them." So koinonia, fellowship, can mean coffee hour, it can mean membership. But the way Luke is using it here is very different. For Luke, koinonia community is something very particular that happens when people gather together over time in the name of Jesus Christ. Koinonia is what develops into people who cry in front of one another and who laugh too loudly in front of one another. Koinonia, it turns into people who disagree with one another, sometimes passionately, but speaking the truth together in love. Koinonia is a community that doesn't leave people where it finds them, but it causes people to grow, to change, to be transformed, and to become more and more in touch with their call from God and their purposes in this world. Koinonia community is something that is modeled after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that turns our relationships into those who, in a Christ-like way, are mutually indwelling, deep and passionate and sacrificial. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, Luke describes this community, a community that is strong enough to persist, that is sweet enough to bring joy, and that is powerful enough to transform even this whole world with love. Koinonia, community. They dedicated themselves to fellowship. As I think about fellowship this morning, and as I think about putting koinonia into our toolboxes, I'm thinking about Charlotte Congregational Church and celebrating our koinonia community, which we most certainly are. It's true that we laugh too loudly and cry in front of one another, that we challenge one another and disagree and speak the truth in love. We are a community that models our relationships after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have a community that doesn't leave us where it finds us, but it transforms us and helps us to hear God's call in our lives. So we are a deep koinonia community, and praise be to God for that. Having said that, it's true that we can always grow, right? We can always improve. We can always become deeper and deeper in our relationships with one another. Now, maybe you know lots of people in the church, but not everybody. Maybe you can cry and laugh too loudly in front of some, but not everybody. Maybe you sit on the Christmas tree side of the sanctuary most Sundays, and you don't know many people who sit on the choir side. Maybe you're an elder and don't know too many of the young adults. Maybe you're a student and don't know too many of the elders. Maybe you've been here for 30 years or longer and you don't know many of the newcomers, and the newcomers don't know many of you. There is a need for us to deepen and to grow more and more into the kind of community that Luke is describing for us. So here's our homework. As difficult and challenging as COVID-19 has been for all of us, it has also given us a rare and wonderful opportunity to connect in new and deeper ways. I mean, what would that be like if you thought of the people in the church, maybe that you've talked to once or twice, but don't know very much, but who might be going through a difficult time right now in quarantine? How powerful would that be for your relationship and our whole church if you picked up the phone and called somebody and said, "You know, I know we don't know each other that well, but I'm thinking about you, and I'm wondering if you need anything." How powerful would it be to take a card? Remember cards, pen and paper, right? You took a card and you sent it to a student of any age who might be missing out on some graduation or end of the year events this time of year. How powerful would that be to write a card just to say, you know, I know this is hard for you. I know you're missing some things, missing your friends, missing some milestones, and I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. How powerful would it be to get into a car with a sign and go drive through someone's driveway and honk and wave just to say that you love them? To send an email, to send a text, to send a direct message, just to reach out to one another, to say, I'm here, I'm thinking about you, and I care about you. Is there anything you need? COVID-19 has been challenging in so many ways, but maybe it's given us exactly what we need. The time and the excuse to grow deeper and deeper into our fellowship with one another, to make us stronger, that we might use our koinonia to go out there and do all the work that God is calling us to do and which this community is so desperate for. Enough for now. We will continue this sermon series next week. Actually, it'll be 2 weeks. Susan will be preaching next week, and we look forward to that. And then in 2 weeks, we will return and look at the seldom read story of Acts chapter 6 and the choosing of the 7 for new ministry. We will mine that text for new toolboxes, tools to put in our toolbox, to go along with our hope, to go along with our standing with one another, and to go along with the vision of Luke's Koinonia community. Join us next week, bring a friend, and may it be so, in Christ's name and for the life of us all. Amen.